Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. We're here on another Saturday, and I want to say good morning to each and every one of you, and thank you for joining us this morning. I look forward to Saturdays because this is the time where we get together and we share with one another. And also, it makes me have to get up in the morning on a Saturday. And some of you that are on the line may know that I am not a morning person. So this kind of like makes me get up and start my day and do things that I need to get done, because I seldomly ever lay back down after the show is over. So, again, you know, I just want to say thank you for taking time out of your Saturday to join us this morning. You could still be asleep. Here the weather is a little gloomy outside, so it makes you want to stay in the bed, which you may still be in the bed. But thank you for taking the time out to call in and be with us this morning. I just want to give some shout-outs to those, our regular callers, Ms. Joyce in New York, Ms. Joyce here in Baltimore, Tamika Shelton, Prophetess Dorn and the Crawfords, and Prophetess Kemp. So we're going to go ahead and open up in prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for everything you're doing. We thank you for waking us up this morning and getting us ready for whatever it is that we have to encounter on today. We thank you for just fulfilling us and giving us the necessary things we need to make it through one day, Lord God. And we just lift up those that are having a hard time, Father. We ask that you touch their hearts right now, Father God. Give them the peace that they need to continue to go through, to endure what it is that they're facing right now, Lord God. Let them know that you're right there with them, that your word says that you will never leave them nor forsake them, and you keep your word. So, Father, we know that at times when things are going on around us and there are situations that we have to face, sometimes it could seem like we're going to die in it, or we don't know how we're going to come up out of it, God. But we serve a great and mighty God that knows what suffering feels like. And he's right there to get us through it, because he loves us just that much. And he wants to see us succeed. He wants to see us conquer. He wants to see us go through the things that we have to go through to grow and to be able to reach out and help someone else. So, Father, when we are in our situations, God, we just thank you for your love, your unconditional love. We thank you for the way that you handle us, the things that we get out of what we're going through, the revelation. Father, you're just filling us with everything that we need to be a part of the body of Christ. And we thank you so much for loving us the way that you do. And we give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So this morning, I will be interviewing our ministers from New Vision for Love Church. It's a part of our couples ministry. And so they will be with us this morning, and they're going to share a few things dealing with our couples ministry and relationships and marriage. So I'm going to open the line for them this morning. Give me one second. Good morning, Ministers Brian and Sabrina. Are you there?
Good morning.
Hello.
Good morning. Yay. Y'all are up. Yes, I see y'all are up. You are ready. I know it's early, but, you know, it sounds like y'all are ready for this. So I just want to say good morning.
Good morning.
All right.
Good morning.
So before we get started, I told our callers last week that, you know, they would have me by myself on here, that Apostle wouldn't be available because she was out of town. And so before I get started and start, you know, getting y'all to answer some questions and just interact with our listeners or our callers, I just wanted to just share how much our Apostle fights to save marriages and how she counsels many that are not a part of New Vision for Life. So there are many that she counsels that are outside of our church. And she is basically the one that wants to see marriages be saved. And ministers Brian and Sabrina are a part of that vision that she has for the marriages. So what you're hearing is some of what Apostle has basically poured into them, and then they're pouring into others when it comes to, you know, counseling with marriages and couples questions and relationship things. So they're pouring into others. So it's basically those that thing where one person teaches one person, and then that person teaches another person. It's part of what Apostle talks about in her circle of blessings when she says that at the end of the show, and she also says it during our Sunday service at the end of service. So it's basically, and then ministers Brian and Sabrina, from them pouring into other people, somebody else will then turn around and pour into somebody else. So this morning we're gonna go ahead and get started. One of my first questions I wanted to ask you two, how long have you been married?
The million-dollar question.
Very long, long, long.
Oh, come on.
Brian.
close to 20.
Okay, amen.
It'll be 20 years in
August. In August?
Yeah.
All right. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. You guys made it past that 5-year mark where they say that, you know, normally, I think it's between 2 and 5 years where that's the kind of, like, time where time will determine whether the marriage is going to last or not. So you guys really made it past that time frame. So praise God. Mm-hmm.
If it had not been for Apostle Banks, it would have been a wrap a long time ago.
Yeah.
If we wouldn't have made it past that 5th year, that 7-year mark.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so I'm going to come back to that part if it wasn't for her. And what ages did you all get married?
We were really young. He was 22 and I was 23.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, because I totally forgot. I just know I was 20-something.
Okay. All right. And how did you meet?
Work. Yeah, work.
All right. All right, so what about And give me some more at work, and how did you guys interact and all that type of stuff?
He was one of those coworkers that you just enjoyed working with, because we worked the graveyard shift, and you know that's a hard shift to stay awake for. And he was the life of the party back then. He kept the jokes rolling. And so anytime I wanted to pull some overtime, I worked his shift. But he told me, God told him, that I was going to be his wife.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
It wasn't a situation where, you know, I was liking what I was seeing and he was liking what he was seeing, and then we made the connection. No.
Yeah.
No, he told me he had a conversation with God before God had a conversation with me. And then as time progressed, things began to shift. But it wasn't until I left that job that we officially started to date.
Okay.
Yeah.
Brian, you can say anything about that?
Yeah, she tried to duck me out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she tried to duck me out. She's lied. I'm not going to go to church with him. But, you know, I was very persistent and very sneaky.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
He was very different from what I used to date. He was, mm-hmm. I wasn't dating at that time, but he was very different. He was a church boy. You know, I grew up in the church, but like around 16 or so, my mom kind of said, hey, if you want to go, go. If you don't want to go, you don't have to go. So I had strayed away from the ministry at some point until I actually connected with him, because he used to always invite me out to his church.
Okay. All right. So you all's relationship was basically already kind of rooted in God. And when Sabrina, when he told you that God said that you were his wife, did you believe him when he said it, or did you kind of think like, yeah, whatever, man, you know, that type of reaction?
Absolutely not. I was like, yeah, whatever, man. I knew nothing about prophecy, prophetic word, discernment. I knew nothing about those things at that time. So when he said it, you know, and I only knew what I felt in my flesh at that moment. It wasn't actually until he got the date with me, because he was so persistent. He tricked me first. He tricked me. He got my girlfriend to ask me to call him.
I was just using my brain.
And I called him to see what he wanted. I forgot I had there was such a thing invented called caller ID. So he got my number and started to call me from that point on. But when I finally went to his church, it was just something different. I got to experience him a whole nother way. And so I got to the place that I stopped fighting. And I said, God, if this is the man that you have for me, let me see him the way that you see him. And then, like, a couple of visits after that, when I saw him at his church, again, there was, like, this glow all around him. It was undeniable at that moment. And then that's the very moment that I surrendered.
Wow. That's awesome, because that leads into my next question, which you basically just answered. My next question was, how did you know that you were meant to be together? And what you just said is how you knew that. You saw that God allowed you to see that glow, that light, and you knew at that moment that, you know, even though you said that you weren't, you grew up in a church, but you stopped going at 16, but you recognized at that moment that was God speaking to you about him. Am I right?
Yeah. When you're young and you're so green and you're not rooted in a church and you don't have a covering, your value system as far as what you look for in a mate is completely off, completely off. So I kept looking at the exterior. You know, he was a slim man and he was polar opposite to what I used to date. So because I couldn't get back past the physical factor, I wasn't trying to entertain anything he had to say. But as I began to grow more in Christ, attending his church, I learned that, you know, you want a man that's going to pray for you. You know, you don't want what you think is best for you. You want what God thinks is best for you. So when I was able to embrace all of that, everything began to work itself out.
Amen. Brian, do you have anything you want to add to that?
No, not really. Not really. No. No, she pretty much summed it up as far as what she was saying. Just in choosing the right person, it was real important that I actually hear from God, like far as who I'm supposed to marry. Not necessarily like you don't want to go off of what you see, their resume, because even in any relationship with anybody, we go according to their resume, and their resume could consist of what they, you know, as far as where they work, what kind of, you know, like where they work, how they look. And God doesn't go according to man's, you know, the resume that you think that, you know, it should be. God chooses, you know, from what he wants you to have, what he knows that's going to work best for you. And I can definitely say that by going that route, he's definitely given me the best of what will work best for not only for her, but also for me.
Amen. And, you know, I'm glad that Sabrina submitted to God in this situation, because sometimes, you know, like she said, she had this, what she wanted. She had this idea of the type of man or who she used to, the type of guys that she used to date. And when she first saw you, you didn't kind of fit into what she was used to dealing with. And I can, you know, relate, because even when I met Mark, he wasn't the type of guy that I was used to dealing with. So I almost, you know, I almost passed it by, because we looking at the physical and the type of what we want instead of what God is telling us what's best for us. And so, you know, had I continued to look for the type that I was used to dealing with, the type that used would hurt me, I would have completely missed the king, you know, my king, the one that was standing right before me, and I almost missed it. And so it's good that when we submit how God knows what's best for us, and sometimes we try to fight what it is that God has for us, but God knows what's best, and he wants the best for us. And sometimes it's just what we want, you know, our desires and our will sometimes speaks loudly, tries to overpower God's voice. But when we're connected, we're tuned in, when we're paying attention, when it's something that makes you think like, and because that's what I did. I was like, maybe he is. And I just started giving it more attention. So in both cases, I'm glad that we submitted to God in this area, because he gave us what we needed. You know, I'm not going to say everything is perfect, but as far as what we needed, he gave that to us. Amen. So the next question is, what was the biggest hurdle you faced in your marriage, and how did you get through it? So that's where we're going to go back to when Minister Sabrina said, if it wasn't for Apostle, you know, that you all may not have made it.
I thought he was going to go first. I think the biggest hurdle, it's probably equal on both of our sides. Early on in our relationship, it was probably around the fifth-year mark, actually, that I had, well, I didn't discuss. Discover anything. We were at church one day. It was a deliverance service that was going on, and a prophet that we both know and love and respected was prophesying and helping different people deliver from different things. And at some point, he came to my husband, and I was pregnant. No, so it couldn't have been the fifth-year mark. I was pregnant. So it was 3 or 4 years in. It was 3 or 4 years in, and I was pregnant at the time with our twins. And he had said that my husband had been, well, he was calling out the spirit of pornography. That's what it was. So I had learned on that day that he had been indulging in pornography. That was probably like the biggest hurdle, because in my eyes, as far as I was concerned at that time, you know, any type of lusting, whatever, you know, you don't have to physically have sex with someone. You know, just the fact that you were looking at something, someone else, that to mm-hmm. me was infidelity. And I took it just as hard as if he went out and slept with someone. And I was still growing in Christ at that time. And I took it personally. I took it really personally. And it was like, how could you go out and do da 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 da? And, you know, we had experienced infertility issues early on. And so I went through a lot. I wanted to adopt. He was like, no, I want my own kids. And so I went through what I had to go through for us to have children. And I was feeling like, well, I went out and I did da-da-da-da-da, and you're going to go out here and do this? Mm-hmm. But it was through that, getting over that hump, because I was so spiritually immature. That's what made that moment so difficult to get over. I didn't know how to handle it. But as time mm-hmm. went on, I realized it was more than what it appeared to be on the outside. I had realized that he was dealing with a spirit of addiction that was transferred through the bloodline. His mm-hmm. parents had addictive spirits, but they were addictive spirits in different ways. And so that was the way he knew he wasn't going to go and get involved with alcohol and drugs, you know, because he saw what that effect can do. I think a lot mm-hmm. of times we don't realize that spirits can transfer and metamorph into different things. And so how it infiltrated itself in our marriage, it was through pornography. And so learning and growing and all of that stuff, it brought me, in working with Apostle Banks and going through counseling, months and months of counseling, it brought me to the place to no longer become wounded and be the victim in the situation and learn how to warfare for my husband. So that was my first true introduction to warfare. No, my second. My first was getting pregnant. But, yeah, that was my full introduction to warfare.
Yeah. Okay.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. Even with just dealing with the whole pornography thing, that was almost like a double-edged sword, because not only having my wife find out, but then have to talk to Apostle about it. And it's like, you know, it's one thing when my wife is, you know, is saying what she's saying to me, but then mm-hmm. then, you know, then after that, it's kind of like, okay, you know, I have my pastor who's now involved in it, and she's gonna be even like 10 times more than my wife, because you know, I go to it and I'm around other people, and I'm, you know, how the enemy was working was like, yeah, you know she's going to tell everybody, and everybody going to know what's going on with you. Oh, yeah, mm-hmm. you're going to hit into divorce. And, you know, just start playing mind games with me. But, you know, Apostle would tell me, she's like, I'm not saying nothing to no one. She's like, only people who know about this is me, you, and your wife, God and the devil. She was like, we're the only ones that know about it. And she's like, and you know, and after she constantly, you know, talked to me, she even told me, was like, these are the steps that you need to take. And you know, even when I started taking steps to do counseling and dealing with it, it was like, you know, I would answer, like, I would be asked questions, but I would give, like, one-word answers, and
uh-huh.
it would be real quick and short because I wanted to hurry up and get it over with. But then after a while, you know, Apostle kind of told me, was like, the way that I'm answering the questions is like, I don't really want my marriage to be saved. And she asked
uh-huh.
me, like, do you want to, she was like, do you still want to be in this marriage? And I said, yes, I still want to be in this marriage. And she said, well, if you want to be in this marriage, stop giving one-word answers. Start thinking about the answers and really answering them and really look inside yourself to, you know, so that you can move forward. And once she said that, you know, I began to start answering the questions and start looking a little bit more deeper into it. And, you know, even now, if I have to, when I talk about the whole porn thing, I have more insight into it, and I'm able to talk to other men who may be married, who may not be married, but just to tell them, like, you know, no need to play macho. Like, if you're going through something, talk to someone. Say
mm-hmm.
that you need help. And, you know, even in our marriage, that's still one of the hardest things for me as a husband. You know, if I'm going through something, you know, at work or at home, I got something going on in my mind, it's kind of hard for me to go to, you know, to tell my wife that, yes, I have a weakness, I'm going through this. But one of the things that I learned is that how God worked this out is that when I go to my wife gives me great advice. And when
uh-huh.
she gives me great advice on how to deal with whatever I'm going through, you know, she prays with me. And when she
mm-hmm.
prays with me, I feel a whole lot better, especially when she prays for me, because I love hearing her pray. And when I hear her
uh-huh.
pray, it's like, oh God, like it's like she's kissing me and hugging all on me, and I'm like, oh, like, you know, because she's, because, you know, when it comes to prayer, and how I look at prayer is very intimate when you're praying. And when my wife is praying with me, it's like she's being very intimate, and she's touching, she's seeing my heart, and she's going to God to tell God what it is that I'm not able to say.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's so awesome.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I think in the church world, there is such a shame when you hear about men in the church dealing with pornography. And
mm-hmm.
and I remember, like, the first time he gave his testimony, it was like a, you know, that kind of
mm-hmm.
thing. And because, first of all, not enough people talk about it, okay?
Right.
And then there are also a lot of self-righteous people in the church community, and it's kind of like if you ever sat and watched a naked picture, you've dealt with pornography. You know, if you
mm-hmm.
sat there and watched people have sex, you have dealt with pornography. I think sometimes people kind of take themselves out of the equation. The only difference
mm-hmm.
between them and him is there was a spirit attached to it, which had him engaged in it beyond his control until the spirit was broken off of him. But I think, and I honor him for his courage in sharing his testimony, because I had shared with him what God shared with me a long time ago, that you have to share your testimony in order, you know, to stay in that place. You know, you didn't just go through it just to simply go through it. You went through it to be able to help people come up out of it, because people don't talk about it in church.
I so agree. That is, that's the correct thing that we're supposed to do. And because it's the type of thing where people make you feel ashamed, you know, when you say I dealt with the spirit of pornography, you know, it's almost like the enemy starts to speak and say, you can't tell nobody because they're not going to like you anymore. They're going to look at you differently. You know, they're going to talk about you. So it kind of makes you not want to open your mouth when you're supposed to, you know, you're supposed to share. And this is how God helped me get through it. That's how we help others get through it, by sharing our testimony. Because when we become ministers, sometimes people meet us at that point when we become, you know, licensed, or we become leaders of the church. So they don't know the background. They don't know the history of the things that we have gone through. So they think that we've never gone through anything, because they see us in the state where we are now, where we have grown,
yeah,
and where we have matured. And so they see us from that view. And when we don't share our testimony, they kind of feel like they can't relate to us, because they feel like, you know, we don't go through anything, or we haven't gone through anything, or we couldn't have done A, B, and C. And so that's why it is important that we share our testimony, because we don't know who's dying. We don't know what happens when we share our testimony, that it may give life to somebody to show them that, you know, yes, I did used to do this, and now I've matured. I'm a licensed minister. I'm an elder. I'm a whatever. I'm a deacon. I'm a what? You know, I'm at this place now, but I had to get here. I had to go through some things to get here. I didn't just, you know, wake up and I was now at the point where I am now. So I think us being transparent with people really, really helps them get through their situations and the things that they're dealing with that they don't want to share with anybody, because of the fact they feel like they're going to be talked about or shamed, or people want to turn their nose up at them, or don't want to have, you know, basically being rejected. And so it does help for us to share. And another question I wanted to ask you guys, dealing with the hurdle, this, the pornography and the situations that y'all went through, we know that it comes from a spirit of lust. And Minister Sabrina, you said even though he didn't touch another woman, it was still as if he cheated on you, you know, he committed adultery. So how did you rebuild the trust with him? How were you able to just say, you know, okay, yes, he's done this. I know now it hurts, but how did you rebuild that trust?
Well, first and foremost, God had to be in the center of our relationship. He truly had to be the anchor to get us through that. And we went through periods where he had to, like, not be on the internet. He couldn't have access to a computer. I had to have, like, all of his PIN codes. And, you know, if he was on the computer, he had to be on the computer in my presence. And he couldn't be on there, like, past a certain time. And it basically, he had to be an open book. It was a process. It was a daily process. When I needed to have the conversation, if I was a little nervous, like, he had to be willing to have a conversation with me. There was a lot of praying in the midst of it. We had a lot of counsel with Apostle. We also had counsel outside of Apostle through an, I can't remember the name at the very moment, but it was an organization that dealt with this type of thing, and they paired you up with mentors to guide you and walk you through the steps of their program, and you can also reach out to them when you were having certain issues. So it was just a getting to know you type of thing all over again. The same way you build trust in a relationship with a person, we had to redo that all over again.
Okay.
Even in that, as far as even with the rebuilding, one of the things that I especially had to do was I had to find people who would hold me accountable for know, for anything that I would know, do, and you know, so even in the midst of that, I had to find that one person that I felt like I can open, you know, that I can open up to. So mainly another man that I felt that wouldn't judge me, because it's kind of hard for a man. It's kind of hard for men to go to women, you know, to go to another one, you know, to go to a woman and say, hey, I got this going on. But it's a little bit more easier when men are able to talk to each other and say, look, I got this going on. And most guys, you know, they'll be flat out and just tell you exactly what's what. Because even in that, even during my process of dealing with this, you know, I got to the point where I was just, you know, I'll just let all the cards be out. And, you know, once I started getting the information about what porn could do for you, it's like the enemy just decided to try to bombard me. I remember one time when I was at work, and I was in security at that time, and I have nothing but guys that I work with. And, you know, one of them came to me and showed me a picture, and I was like, nah, man, I don't mess with that. And, you know, I kind of went into detail with him. And the only thing he came out of his mouth and said, man, porn is good for guys. Guys need this. And I was like, that makes no sense. I said, wow, why would you do that? So when I had that moment, when I had that moment at work, and I realized that there's a difference between who you call friends and who you call associates. Your associates will give you the wrong advice. They'll give you advice, but it's only the wrong advice. A friend will tell you the right thing, will always give you the best advice, and is always for your good, not to hurt you. So, you know, my friend was Elder West. Elder West gave me friend advice. My coworkers would give me associate advice, and they would tell me, man, your wife don't know what she's talking about. It's fine. Don't even worry about it. You need this. And my friend Elder West would tell me, like, brother, that is not the route that you want to go. Don't even listen to him. And he would give me scripture behind it in order, you know, so that I can also move forward. So, you know, that's very important in any hurdle that you deal with in marriage or anything, that you have a strong friendship base around people who have the same mind as you, who want to see you succeed, where y'all both want to succeed and do the best and get the best of what God has for you in life.
Mm-hmm. Can I just add on one more thing? It wasn't just Brian having to regain my he had to regain my trust. It wasn't just him having to regain our trust during the healing process. I had to also be in a position where he could trust me. And what I mean by that is it's hard for a man, you know, like he said before, to confess his flaws, his weaknesses to his wife. And so I had to position myself in such a way that during his healing process, if he ever felt weak and he felt like he wanted to go do it again, I had to be a soft place for him. I had to be open for him to be able to come say, honey, listen, I'm struggling today. It's been hard. It's been on my mind. I need you to pray with me. And I could not judge him for it. I could not be hurt behind it. I had to be his support in this situation as well.
Amen. And thank you for sharing that side of it, because, you know, most people would, you know, think, oh, well, it happened to you. Why would he have to trust you again? You didn't do anything to him. You didn't participate. And so thank you for bringing that side of it up so that people can understand that. Even when it doesn't seem like a two-way situation as far as trust, again, many times, you know, there is. So thank you for sharing that. And I just want to share that you are listening to Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. And this morning we are talking with Ministers Brian and Sabrina DeShazzo from our church, New Vision for Life. But the title of the couple's ministry is New Vision for Love. And they're just sharing you some things that they've gone through in their marriage. And so the next question that I want to ask you all is why did you want to be the leaders of the marriage ministry, and also what is the vision that you have for the ministry?
Well, it kind of found us. We didn't go after it.
Yeah. Okay.
Our pastor asked us to head it up a while back. We also felt a charge when she asked us for it. It's like one of those things that you just can't shake. Somebody charged you with something and you just can't shake it. And it's to the point now that we just eat, breathe everything about marriages. It's we feel like it's more than just us heading up a ministry. We feel like it's our calling. It's part of our purpose. Okay. And that makes the full difference in it all. That makes everything that we've gone through throughout our marriage make sense. Because when you're going through your stuff, you're like, God, why do I have to go through this? Why do I have to go through that? God, why didn't you let me choke him? Like, why? And you get to this place, and you're like, okay, we needed to be able to minister to people who goes through this and who goes through that and who goes through this. So it's beyond just us heading up a ministry. It's our purpose.
Amen. And then what's the vision?
Our vision for the ministry is to see marriages thrive. To see couples succeed, and then as they succeed, others will begin to see, like, wow, this is what a marriage is like. I want this.
Mm-hmm.
I want this. 'Cause, you know, even now in the world that we live in, marriage is not something that's sought after.
So
marriage in the world eyes is considered a contract between two parties who agree for this time till this time that they will work within this contract, and it could be no love in it. It could be no nothing. It could be their contract could only be about financial gain. But in God, when you make a covenant, you're not only making a covenant with that person, you're making a covenant with God. And then what happens when you're making a covenant with God and your spouse is that what you're saying is that I'm going to follow God's way. I'm going to live my life for this person, and we're going to succeed together. We're a team. When she hurts, I hurt. When I hurt, she hurt. When I succeed, she succeeds. It's a team thing, and And that's what we really want people to see, is that, you know, there are good parts in marriage. Yes, there are things that can shake your marriage, but if your marriage is on a solid rock, which is Jesus Christ, and if God is leading and guiding you in all your ways as you follow Him, your marriage can succeed and your marriage can be great. Your marriage can be greater than you ever thought.
Mm-hmm. We're not saying you're not going to have issues. You're not going to have challenges. We still have challenges, but you learn how to handle your challenges when you get to different levels throughout marriage. Marriage is good. Like you said,
mm-hmm.
we put the bad stigma on marriages. Marriage is good. God created marriage. He created marriage.
Yes.
He created Eve from Adam. He joined two people together. It's our mess that we bring into the marriages that makes it bad. It's not the marriage itself. But marriage has this not-so-good viewpoint on many people. And they look at it as if the act is the problem. It's not the act. It's the participants.
Wow. Wow. Amen. Amen. Good point. Good point. And for those that our callers, if you have a question that you would like to ask them or a comment that you would like to make, please press 1 on your keypad, and I will, you know, I will open the line so that you can speak. And my next question for you all, what advice would you give to newlyweds?
I would say, keep having fun. Keep having fun with each other, pretty much. Gotta have lots of fun, and you gotta, have lots of fun and lots of laughter.
Mm-hmm.
I would say, always have God in the center, and remember that you are a team. And a team means you're working together, and you're only going to get out of your marriage what you invest into it.
Mhm. Amen. All right. And then the next question is, what advice would you give to a couple who are struggling in their marriage?
If you're struggling in your marriage, some advice that I heard that I think was real good in your is that if you're struggling in your marriage and if you don't know God, begin to know how to love God, love yourself so that you can love others. If you begin to know how to love God, God will begin to show you how to love yourself, and then as you begin to love yourself, that love will be able to spill out unto your spouse, and then y'all can move forward and you can see greater sunsets.
Mm-hmm. Interject the fruits of the Spirit into your marriage. You'll be surprised to turn around. It can bring forth. That can be applied anywhere.
Yeah. And reading books is also good, too.
And seek counsel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Amen.
Godly counsel.
It's okay. Yes, right. It's okay to get godly
right.
counsel. It doesn't mean you're crazy. That's what they're there for. They're there to help you in times when you can't agree to disagree. They're there to be there for you when you can't get a greater understanding. Seek counsel, godly counsel.
Even when marriages are going through things, you can't have that attitude of, let's take for instance, like if you're sick and you say, oh, I got the flu. Well, I'm going to just take this flu pill and I should be fine. But yet you end up finding that your sickness is, what you have is a lot worse. So when you have something a lot worse, you have to go to a hospital. You have to go see a doctor. And the church is like a hospital. And when you got issues going on, God has people set in place who are able to help you with your issues so that you're able to feel better. And then once you're able to feel better, you can start telling other people how, you know, about how you used to feel and how you're now healed and how you're made whole. So,
amen.
Yeah.
Amen. All right. And I just want to go back to when Minister Sabrina said to interject the fruit of the Spirit. So for those that may not know what that is, it comes from Galatians 5, verses 22 through 23, and it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." So if you practice those things and you're struggling in your marriage and you want to practice those fruit before your marriage may be in that struggle mode. So if you just practice those things, you'll see God's his presence in your marriage and how easily he'll get you through the situation that you're going through, because you'll see each other in a different way, or you'll begin to understand why one acts a certain way and why the other one acts the way that the other one acts. And a lot of times it comes from not communicating to the point where you're clearly telling your significant other or your spouse what it is that you need from them. I think sometimes we do general statements and we assume that the other person should know what that means. And that's where the communication breakdown happens in a marriage or relationship, is because we don't go into detail. Sometimes we have to go into detail because what we may think we are saying makes sense to someone else, and they're not getting it based off of just the one sentence that you said. Sometimes you may have to elaborate on what it is that you want, because what you want may not come across to your husband or wife the same way. So if you kind of like explain it, then, you know, there's a better chance that your husband or wife may get it, may understand what it is that you want them or need them to do. So my next question is, what advice would you give to a younger couple about marriage, ages from like 21 to 30?
Unmarried or married?
I'm married.
Well, I would say, of course, every scenario, I'm always going to say have God in the center, because they just simply will not thrive without it. We got married kind of early, and we had to, in some points, grow up with one another. So I would say be patient with one another. Truly find and discover who you are. Because I don't want people to get this idea that you're supposed to get married and your mate is supposed to complete you. You're supposed to complete yourself. We get into these relationships and we have these great expectations, and we forget that a lot of that weight we're supposed to bear on our own, and we're supposed to bring all of that. We're adding to the relationship with all of that and knowing who you are. I would say set goals for your relationship, goals for your marriage, goals for your finances, goals for when you want to have children. Just simply get on the same page.
Amen. Amen. And I know that sometimes, you know, the younger generation, you know, some of I've had conversations and they don't want to covet marriage. You know, they don't want to be married because of whatever situation that they've seen growing up. It doesn't look the way God's definition of marriage is supposed to look like. So they kind of shy away from it. Because it feels like they don't want to share. They don't want to have to basically hear somebody else tell them no or tell them what they can't do. And so they didn't get that picture of what marriage is supposed to look like, because many come from broken homes. Their parents may have fought all the time. And so I think now what people are doing during this, that they're just having long-term relationships, and they're not even talking about getting married, and they're okay with just living together, being a common law wife or the common law husband. You know, they're fine with that. They're not seeking to be married. And so I just wanted to ask you all to explain what God's definition of marriage looks like.
God's definition of marriage means covenant with one another. His definition of marriage is partnership. When you look at even how Eve was created from the rib. The rib is in the center of the body, and it's over the heart. It's partnership. Your husband should have your heart. You should be his covering. He should be your covering, but you also have to cover him. He is your covering, but you also have to cover him. And God covers both of you. You have anything to add, Brian? I know time is short.
Yeah. As far as the definition of marriage, the definition of marriage is the father showing his love towards you. Like I said before, it's a team effort. In this very definition of marriage, there's great benefits to it. When you see the benefits of what marriage is through the Word of God, it's wonderful. So no, don't go according to the world's definition. Go according to God's definition. And even in just real quick, even in my growing up in church, you know, I come from a family where my father and my mother weren't married. They were roommates. But then when I started going to church, I started seeing marriages, and then I talked to these married people, and they would tell me the benefits of marriage, and I would see it. So that's what I wanted. I wanted that. And, you know, I told God that's what I want, and God made it come true. Now, God didn't tell me, you know, I'm going to get the white picket fence, and I'm going to get the dog, and I'm going to get the kids, and, you know, all that. But, you know, as life happens and as things go on, you begin to see the greatness of it.
And marriage is a gift from God. It truly is a gift. There's so many things that can be manifested from a marriage. And marriage, first and foremost, is ministry.
Yeah.
Mhm. Yep. That is a ministry in itself. Our marriage, you know, being that example for somebody that may think about, you know, wanting to get married, but are not quite sure. So like Minister Brian said, he didn't have it at home, but when he went to church, that's when he was able to see what marriage truly looks like. So that is why he was able to be a good husband in his marriage, because he was, you know, getting to see the examples before him. So he didn't allow the fact that his parents were not married and they were just roommates. He didn't allow that to stop him from wanting to get married. So, you know, we may not get everything at home, and that's why we are supposed to have that covenant relationship with God, so that he can show us what it is that we need in life and how to make it work. And so I just want to say thank you to you two, Ministers Brian and Sabrina DeShazzo, for joining us today. We really enjoy our time together. Thank you for being transparent and being open and to just sharing with people that you don't even know that intimate detail of what went on in your marriage. And I just pray that God continues to take you guys higher and higher, where you'll be a traveling couples ministry, where you're going to different events and conferences and stuff, and you're just able to share
the different things that you all have gone through and how God has brought you through. So thank you to our callers that joined us this morning. Again, thank you for taking your time out this morning to be with us. We really appreciate you. And I just pray that everybody has an awesome day. God covers and keeps you, that no hurt, harm, or danger comes near you. And may God continue to smile upon you and grant you the desires of your heart. Have a good weekend. God bless.